few weeks, we've been talking about taking new territory, and that God has called every single one of us to take and possess a territory in our life. How many of you know that you have something that God has called you to do, that you have a land that God has called you to step into and possess? Now, it may not be an actual land, but it may be something that God has called you to, a plan or to a purpose for your life. It's an area for you to advance the kingdom of God is your territory. For some of you, that could be, maybe you're a teacher. By the way, I love teachers. I mean, I think teachers have just an incredible job and an incredible opportunity in life because, well, first of all, their job's not easy. So, y'all, we need to pray for our teachers. Amen? Come on, amen? Amen? There you go. I want to get the young people to say it. But amen. We do. We got to pray for our teachers because every single day they have the ability to encounter young people and to help develop them. And we have a lot of believers and a lot of Christians that are teaching in the public schools. And I tell you what, they need the power of the Holy Spirit moving in them every single day. We need to pray for our teachers. But say you're a teacher and God calls you to a school or to an area. Well, guess what? That's your territory. Amen? And that's land for you to go and possess. Say you're a businessman and God has called you to a community. He's called you not just there just to make money, but he's called you to possess the land for his kingdom and for his goodness. You are put in business as a businessman to provide jobs for other people. Amen? And to be a good influence in the community that God has put you in. There is territory to be taken. No matter what your call in life is, there is a land for you to possess. Amen? This is not just a message for preachers. How many of you know I'm not speaking to a room full of preachers? Matter of fact, if we had a room full of preachers, nothing would get done. We would just sit around talking to each other and spouting off a lot of hot air and nothing would get done. God doesn't move just through preachers. Come on. God mostly moves through you, through people who show up in the marketplace every day. For people who show up in the oil fields, for people who show up in the schools, for people who, those are the people that God moves through and changes the world. Amen? Come on, God is good. Say amen with some voice today, amen? All right, so we're going to be talking about taking territory. So today, last week we talked about taking territory requires us to have not just a new attitude, but also a new way of thinking. Today I want to talk about taking territory, and I want to talk about it this way. God has a plan. God has a plan. Let's look at Joshua chapter 6, verses 2 and 3 today, if we have that. And it says this, "And the Lord said to Joshua," notice here that the Lord is speaking. Come on. Lord is speaking. God is still speaking. I don't care what any other theology tries to tell you. God still speaks today through his word and through his spirit. That's why it's important for us to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, because God is speaking. And he said to Joshua, "See," notice he's making him look. "Look," he says, "I have given Jericho into your hands with its king and mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all the men of war going around the city once. Thus shall you do for 6 days." What we notice here about this instruction is here, what's happening is this. God is speaking to Joshua and he's saying, "Now listen, I've already given Jericho to you." Now Jericho at this point had not fallen. Jericho at this point was mighty. Jericho at this point was formidable. It was strong. It was unconquerable. It was this walled city that was impenetrable. It was the impossible. How many of you know Jericho was there to prove God? Come on. Jericho was there to prove God. So they come across Jericho, and in order for them to possess the land, they have to take Jericho. It's imperative. It's a strategic point. And here they have Jericho in front of them. And Jericho was known, its walls were so big that it was known that two chariots could go around the side of the walls side by side as they went around the walls. This was not just like a small wall. This was like serious wall. Stay out. Nobody coming in. So What we have here is God speaking to Joshua. And, oops, sorry, new iPad, trying to get used to it. There we go. All right. And he's saying, look, you need to listen to me. I have already given you Jericho, along with its king, along with its best troops. Here's what you have to do. And I think what happens is taking new territory starts with a promise from God. How many of you know everybody has a promise? Amen? That's what Joshua received from God firstly. First, he got the promise. We see that in Joshua chapter 1. God said to him, every place you set your foot shall be yours. That's what he said. That's the promise. It always starts with the promise. But that is not the whole story, right? In reality, territory taking needs a plan to succeed. Not just any plan will do. It needs a God plan. How many of you know, for every promise God puts on your life, He has a plan? For every promise He gives you, He has a plan. See, we can never forget that God has a plan. You know, the second time we read about God and Joshua engaging, he receives this plan for territory taking from God, and he started from promise and assignment, and he needed him to progress to getting God's plan and process. So whenever God gives you a promise, he will always move you to plan and process. Today, I'm going to talk a little bit more practically. Is that all right? We need to be practical in our faith, because oftentimes what we do is we get so hung up on the faith and the promise part and that we just want to live in that forever, then we get disappointed when we never see the plan or promise come to fruition because we never move on into the plan. You know, Pastor Vinny said this. He was talking this morning about, you know, we can't always live in faith. At some point, we got to work. Amen? You say, Pastor James, are we saved by our works? No. Absolutely not. We're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. But guess what? God has a plan, and that plan requires your partnership, and it requires your effort, and it requires you to invest in what He has for you. And we can't just sit around here, and we can't just sit around and daydream all the time and just sing Kumbaya and when we all get to heaven. At some point, missionaries got to hit the mission field. At some point, we've got to preach. At some point, we've got to run an outreach. At some point, you've got to feed the hungry. At some point, you've got to work. Is this okay? At some point, you have to obey the plan. Otherwise, we just sit around and sing Kumbaya till we all get to heaven. And nothing changes. Nothing happens. Guys, in order for us to even have service today, people worked hard all week because there's a plan. Come on. We can't fall in love with just the promise and not move into the part of the plan. Now, see, here's what we got to realize, that things are not always what they seem. In Joshua chapter 6, verse 1, it says this. Do we have that scripture, guys? 6:1? Oh, yeah, there it is. Okay. It says this. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. Why is this important? They were promised Jericho, yet Jericho seemed impenetrable. How many of you know the fact of what the promise was did not line up with the circumstances that they saw in front of them? God promised them Jericho, and then their human eyes looked upon Jericho and went, Jericho is shut up because we're out here. By the way, Jericho shut up because they shut their gates because they were afraid of the army coming against them. As a matter of fact, later, and it says something this, that the children of Israel at this point had a reputation for war. We know you are fearsome. We know you are formidable is what they said to them. See, they went from being a ragtag group of people wandering in the desert under Moses to now under Joshua, they were enacting a plan. And now they're an army. And so they shut up the gates. And so here they are standing on the outside saying, we know God has promised us this, but this looks impenetrable. This looks impossible. This looks like it, we will never be able to take Jericho as we stand. What you were promised might not seem so likely to happen. That's why you need to receive God's plan. Amen? How many of you, nobody in the Israelite camp had a plan for Jericho, but God had a plan. Sometimes we may have a clear promise from God, but the circumstances say the opposite. And that's what the Israelites faced as they came to this first city they had to conquer in the promised land. And the city was securely shut up. And this stands in contrast with the promise given in Joshua 1:3, which says, I will give you every place you set your foot. How many of you know those things are in direct opposition of one another? But you can't lose heart when you're facing your proverbial Jericho because God has a plan. We must never lose sight of that. What now looks inaccessible to you, what now looks like a closed door to you, in this moment may look like something that you may never breach the doorstep of, will become part of the new territory you're supposed to take, but it all depends on God's plan. You okay today? See, what we need to understand is God is really good at planning. God is a master architect. God knows how to design. As a matter of fact, our introduction into who He is in Scripture, in Genesis, is God planning. Is that not true? All of the creation account is God exercising His plan. He had a plan. How many of you know that even at the fall of Adam and Eve, God enacted a plan? And that plan's name was Jesus. Amen? We're coming into Easter in the next few weeks. We're going to be coming into the Easter season, and we're asking you to invite people. What I'm asking you to invite people for is because God has a plan for their life. But what is Easter but a celebration of God's plan? Right? The fruition of God's plan. God had a plan. His name was Jesus. Jesus came. He died, but He didn't stay dead. Come on. Because God had a plan. God is a planner by His very nature. God has a plan for your life. And I'm going to tell you something. Show me one thing in Scripture where God's plan didn't work out for the best. So why are you worried about His plan for your life? Man, so many people worry about God's plan for their life. You don't need to worry about God's plan for your life. God's plan is good. You just got to get a hold of it. Right? What if God wants to send me to Africa? You'll be happy. I promise you, you will be happy. Odds are He probably won't. You know, because when I was a kid, that was the fear. I don't want to surrender my life to God because He's going to make me go to Africa. I've been to Africa now, and it's gorgeous. I would love to go back. It's like Texas with giraffes. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. But God has a plan, and we should never fear the plan of God because it's always going to lead us to a place of better prosperity for us. It will advance the kingdom. Amen? You guys okay? Come on, say amen. I need you to talk to me today. Where was I? I lost my notes. Oh, there I am. Hi. We need to move from promise to plan and then to process. And the latter part means work. Planning and process means you have to get your hands dirty. Come on. That's why, I'm going to get in trouble when I say this. I'm going to say it anyway. That's why some over-spiritual people don't like this part. They don't want to get their hands dirty. They don't want to get their hands dirty. What do I mean by that? I want to be so spiritual that I never allow myself to come in contact with people. Who might take a little bit of work. Come on. If we would just keep ourselves separated. See, we're called to be in this world, not of the world. Come on. That means sometimes we've got to get our hands dirty. And Jesus is the greatest example of this. Jesus spent his life getting his hands dirty, doing the work. Amen? Guys, this is good. This is good. See, we really think that when we're called into ministry, that we're called to be this, sparkly, shiny thing where everybody looks up to. But the truth of the matter is the work of the kingdom is more about picking up a shovel than it is calling about out the directions. It's about living our lives in such a way where we're going to work, and that's okay. Amen? What I always say, never ask God to use you and then complain when you feel used. You can't do it. Because if you ask God to use you, guess what he's going to do? He's going to use you. And you guess what? It's not if you feel used. You will feel used. I'm telling you right now. But you'll survive. And you'll be okay. Amen? You guys okay? Remember, God does not want you to stagnate at a place where he just does things for you. He ultimately wants to do things with us and through us. See, here's what it comes down to. See, when my children were small, and when your children were small, and your grandchildren were small, you had to do a lot for them. Right? Is that not true? You have to do a lot for them. You know, right now, Vinny and Bree, they've got Saxon, who just turned 3 yesterday, right? And then they got that little munchkin right there. Sawyer, look at that little guy. Isn't he adorable? I'm terrified of him. He's so small. I mean, you know, right now, they're in a season where basically their lives are revolving around having to do for these little ones, right? But sitting behind them is my son. Hi, son. How are you? He hates this, by the way. He's going to yell at me later for this, right? He likes to be up there where I can't get to him. But sitting behind them, see, right now, so you've got this and you've got this. How many of you know, at this point, I should not be doing the same? Come on. It's a problem if I'm changing his diaper. Y'all, that's a problem. At this point, it should be what we have done for him should have enabled him to be able to do for himself and for others now. Amen? Because he is basically an adult at this point. Right? It's a different type. See, what happens is when we come into the faith, when we walk in, God says, listen, I'm going to take care of you. But he doesn't take care of us just to set us up and to be the sugar daddy in the sky for the rest of our lives. He sets us up for a plan and for a purpose to bring us to a place of being productive for the kingdom of God. And he says, listen, I've got a promise for you. I have a promise, you know, but here's the thing. You're going to have to grow into the promise. And in order for you to do that, you first got to realize that the promise isn't even really about you. It's about what I want to do in you and through you for the sake of the kingdom for others. Isn't that awesome? See, that's what God wants to bring us to, what he wants to do in us and then through us. Now listen, when people come to faith, we've got to take care of them. Come on. We've got to love on them, but we have to love them so much we can't leave them there. We have to help them grow, disciple them, be an instrument of God in their life to help them come to a place where they are now producing for the kingdom. Is this okay? It's a different stage of life, different seasons of maturity. We have to first take a look at planning. God is the great planner. His plans are perfect, and they always make for success. And as long as we follow his plan, we're assured success. Now, your definition of success may be different. How many of you know our definition of success is usually different from God's definition of success? You guys have heard the story. I've said it before. You've heard the story about many, many, many years ago. They went and they held a crusade, and they were going to have a revival. You guys remember when churches used to do that? They used to hold revival crusades. And they held a revival, and they brought this the speaker in, and he spoke, and they held revival every single night. And throughout the whole week of the revival, only one 12-year-old boy got saved, and they called it a failure, not realizing the 12-year-old boy was Billy Graham, who God called a success. Come on. So let me ask you, did they miss God when they held that revival? According to them, they probably went home thinking, oh, man, nobody showed up, nobody got saved. I guess we missed God. Too often, we put ourselves in the position of the ones who judge success. But see, God had a plan, and part of his plan was for that failed revival to happen so that one 12-year-old boy would have the opportunity to hear the gospel presented to him, and it would take hold of it in such a way that millions would be saved. See, God outthinks you. God thinks bigger than you. God thinks further than you. God thinks deeper than you. So when he says, this is my plan, you have to trust the plan. You got to trust the process. But too often, we panic in the process because we're not seeing the results the way we want to see the results. So we begin to panic, not realizing God's got it under control. You okay? We have to do what he said. I got to move on or I won't make it through all these notes. And this is actually a really short message that I talk myself into longer. Okay. It's important to get the Holy Spirit's plan for every bit of new territory. In this regard, we can learn a lot from the lifestyles of Joshua and guys like David. Getting God's plan involves some core elements that we need to talk about today. And I'm going to give you the core elements here quickly. The number one, first one is, you have to submit. Submit. Do we have that? Is it on the wall? There you go, submit. And it says this, we have to learn to live under the Lord's counsel, live under the lordship of Jesus. And Joshua displayed this attitude when he asked the question, what does my Lord say to his servant? You see that last line there? So he said, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? Let me ask you guys a question. How often are you falling on your face in front of God and saying, what do you have to say about this? What is your plan about this? What is your purpose with this? What am I to do with this? See, oftentimes what I realize is in order for us to be able to be successful, it always starts with a position of submission. Always. My victory is won in my submission to Him. I am more than an overcomer because I am in submission to Him. You see how it works? God's economy works different than the world's economy. He thinks differently. He's got a different plan. You guys okay? So we have to submit to the Lord and give ourselves to Him. The second thing we have to do is we have to ask. Say ask. We have to ask the Lord for His strategy. Asking for His strategy should follow receiving God's promise and assignment. You have to ask clear questions because clear questions can lead to clear strategies. What if you know clarity? God wants to be clear. Right? We tend to treat it like God's trying to be mystical and vague on purpose. He's not. You understand that? He's not. God is not trying to be vague with you. As a matter of fact, God is trying to be so clear that it's unmistakable. But too often, we don't ask the right questions. You guys okay with that? It says this, His strategy comes as a result of us waiting on Him, being in His presence, living a life of prayer, focusing on Jesus as the author and the finisher, the commander, the one who gives the instruction, and then asking Him of His strategy, which includes a process, and it doesn't have to be complicated. It can be very simple. How many of you know that God always deals in simplicity? He has chosen simplicity with us. We overcomplicate. We're the complicating factor in any scenario, but God always deals in simplicity. right? Look at Jesus. Jesus always simplified, didn't he? Always. Whereas the religious leaders of the day made everything so complicated, Jesus always simplified it. Guys, this is how you know you're getting off into your own territory. When things start getting really complicated, mind you, I didn't say easy. I said complicated. When things start getting really complicated, that's when you know that you probably have too much involvement. See, God tends to deal with simplicity. I didn't say easy. How many of you know Jericho was not easy? But there was simplicity in what they were called to do. And God always deals in simplicity. What did Jesus say? Talking about the Ten Commandments. But I can sum them up in two. Right? Now, he didn't dismiss the Ten Commandments, did he? He just summed them up in two. Every time the religious leaders try to make it complicated, well, by this point, you've heard me say this, God gave Ten Commandments in Exodus. By the time this question was posed to Jesus, there were 613 amendments to the Ten Commandments. That's what men do. And Jesus said, 613 amendments to Ten Commandments, I can sum it up in two. Love God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. All of this contains the law. Jesus simplifies. By the way, that's not easy. You understand that that's not easy. It's just simple. It still requires his participation in our life. Amen? So we have to ask God for his strategy. We have to ask the what, the who, the how many, the how and the when. And I think how and when are two important concepts that we need to learn how to ask God. Because we always get the plan of God and we go, here's the plan of God, but we forget to ask how and when. By the way, when is a big, big one. Because some promises you get from God are not right now promises. There's timing involved. Maybe you know God does things in his perfect timing. You guys okay? But see, too often we set off into the, you know, sunset going after what God promised us without asking when. When do we want to do this, God? The how and the when. So God's battle plan, as recorded in Joshua chapter 6, included these basic steps. Here was the how that he said of Jericho. March around the city. Once a day for 6 days with the priest blowing the trumpets, no word can be spoken by anyone. The procession had to be led by the armed men, followed by 7 priests with the trumpets. After them, the Ark of the Covenant must come, followed by the rear guard, and on the 7th day, march around the city 7 times, and at the conclusion of the last round, the priests are to give the long blow of the trumpets, then everyone is to shout, the walls fall, and they march straight into the city and take it. That was the how. God laid it out for them. If you go read Joshua chapter 6, God lays that out for them. He tells them the how. Here's the when. The men had to engage in the battle only when Joshua gave the instruction. God's plans include common sense and the unorthodox. It does not always add up to the natural mind. Listen, marching around and blowing of trumpets does not really make for many walls to fall. Right? But when we're engaging in God's plan, we have to make room both for both common sense and the supernatural. You guys okay? Common sense and the supernatural. And then you follow his plan anyway, even when you don't understand it. Listen, to the war minds, when Joshua probably came down and said, here's how we're going to take Jericho, and he brought his war cabinet around him, and he said, okay, guys, so we're going to walk. Excuse me? Just going to walk. We're going to walk in order. We're going to put everybody in an order, and we're going to walk around the walls, and they're going to fall down. How many of you know that doesn't make sense to any rational military mind, right? But the thing was, is Joshua at this point had walked with God for so long, he knew that though God was asking him to do something that his natural mind didn't understand, that he had to make room for the supernatural, right? Because it comes back to the next part. I almost think that, let's be honest, God could have just went and those walls went down. But he was asking for our next point from us, which is this, obedience. Obey. See, obedience demands our participation. Obedience demands of us to give. Amen? Obedience calls upon us to be active. How many of you know your obedience is always active? Because your obedience is always giving freely. So God was saying of them, will you obey me in this? Will you obey me in this? We have to step out and by faith do what God said. David followed the same path. Before his great battles and decisions, he always inquired of the Lord. He asked for God's plan before he ever moved into action. And the result was always victory and territory taking. And we have to avoid moving out on our own and then trying to convince God to bless our plans and actions. See, that's what we do. We move out, we begin something, and we ask God to bless it. Instead of stopping and saying, God, what is it you want to do? And then obeying what he asks us to do. You guys see where we get the cart before the horse all the time? And I think we're all guilty of it. Okay, God's got a call in my life. I'm going to step out and go do something. And God's back there going, wait, I never told you to do that. And then we're like, we're in ministry. God bless us. And God's like, you did that, not me. Bless yourself. No, seriously. When God's saying, I want you to hear my voice, hear my plan, hear my process, obey it, and I will be with you. Isn't that a better way to go? And then the last thing, and Michelle, would you come for me? Thank you, Michelle. The last thing is, we got to stick to the plan. Stick to the plan. See, I think oftentimes many of us at some point get through all the other steps in the process, but this oftentimes is the one part that tends to trip us up. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct our path. Amen? See, what happens is we panic in the process. I've already alluded to that. We get in the middle of it, and things aren't adding up, and sometimes we don't see the results we want immediately. And in the middle of the process, we begin to panic. And then we come along and we say, well, maybe God didn't tell me to do this anyway. And then we abandon ship. And too often we do it too soon. We tend to do it when things get hard, when things get challenging, when things get difficult. But I'm here to tell you today, everything that God calls you to do will have a moment and a period in it of battle. And there's going to be a moment in it where the battle is pitched and the battle is furious and the battle seems difficult and it seems like the walls are too big and it seems like it's insurmountable and everything inside of you is going to be screaming, stop. And in that moment, you have to know that you know that you know that God called you to do it. And if God called you to it, you have no right to abandon it. You have not been released from it. Is this okay? But we panic in the process. And we refuse to stick to the plan. And unfortunately, you know, consistency matters with God. Consistency matters with God. Well, you know, God is consistent. God is faithful. Every single day you can count on God to act within his character. Can you not? How many of you know the sun came up today? You want to know why? Because God is consistent. God values consistency. God values perseverance. God values those that keep showing up. Keep doing what God called you to do. Stick to the plan. Perseverance is needed. No compromise. And we only update the plan and we only change the plan when God says to do so. And so here's, for those of you that need a formula, here's the formula. You guys have that slide for me? The top is God's part. You have promise and a plan. How many of you know God gives that to us? Second is our part, process, which is our obedience and perseverance. And if we will add those two things together and we will put that partnership together, we will possess all that God has for us. We'll see it through to the end. But it's going to take a little bit of not over-spiritualizing things and getting some dirty hands. Amen? Promise and plan plus process and perseverance equals possession of the land. That's my whole message wrapped up right there. You're like, Pastor James, you could have just done that. Well, you wouldn't have had as much fun. So there you go. Let's stand and let's pray. In Zechariah 4:6, God says this, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Amen? You have a promise.